This is Witchcraft Off the Beaten Path. I'm Molly Dyer. The date of this episode is Wednesday, June 8th. Wherever in the world you are, I hope this finds you safe and healthy, with your needs met well enough to help others with needs that haven't yet been met. I would also like to wish all of my LGBTQIA+ witches, pagans, and heathens a very, very happy Pride Month. We are proudly flying our pansexual pride flag right next to our progress pride flag, and I'm sure that some of the neighbors hate it. And I'm also sure that I don't really give a fuck. So to all of you celebrating Pride Month, I see you. I love you. You are valid, and I am proud of you. Whether you're in the closet or boldly out, I am proud of you. My last episode was titled, Witchcraft Has Always Been Political, and while so many of you reached out about that episode in support and encouragement, I've decided to make today's episode non-political and just sort of stick to witchcraft, which I realize is a novel approach to a podcast about witchcraft, but here we are. So I'm going to do my very best. The topic of today's episode is the summer solstice. Tuesday, June 21st at 4:13 a.m. Central begins the longest day of the year. It's the summer solstice. You may also know it as Litha or Midsummer, though admittedly calling it Midsummer has sort of been wrecked for me. The shine has come off. Now, the word Midsummer just conjures up images of old people hurling themselves off of a cliff face first onto a giant boulder, and also stuffing an old boyfriend into a dead bear and setting him on fire. I mean, that's not my kink, but whatever. I'm just gonna stick to calling it the summer solstice. Around this time of year, gardens are in full bloom. Your plants and gardens are thriving, lush, and green, and beginning to produce the fruits or flowers of their species. It's also become just about as hot as fuck in many places, and I can tell you this, living in Amarillo sometimes feels like living on the surface of the sun. And Amarillo, being the second windiest city in the U.S., and listen, I'm not going to admit that I ever said it wasn't the first. When it's super hot, that wind feels like standing in front of the giant hairdryer from the sand dunes scene in Spaceballs. So, anyway, back to the summer solstice. You're probably seeing the first fruits from your gardens around this time of year, as I mentioned. Spring has come and now gone, and it's only going to get warmer from here on out. And here's one more little point to that. I am not a fan of the summer. I know, I get it. At all. Yes, I do love fresh produce. And even though I suck at gardening, I still love to garden anyway. But as a fair-skinned, natural redhead with descendants from Western Europe, the sun has really never been my ally. My body is just intolerant to heat. And due to some rare medical diseases and conditions that you may never have heard of, and I won't get into right now, heat makes me physically sick. It not only saps me of any energy I have, the longer I have to be in the heat, the more it just saps me of my very will to live. Heat is no friend for this fire sign. So as a result, I tend to stay indoors for the most part during the summer months. So of course, that causes seasonal affective disorder, or as it's known in professional circles, SAD, which is really just another term for seasonal depression, which by the way commingles so nicely with the chronic clinical depression I've been rocking for about 40 years now. And anymore, who's not rocking that kind of depression? So, going outside is something I do as little as possible in the summertime. And living in Texas, the heat happens early in the season and lasts in some parts of Texas, until December. Fortunately for me, here up in the panhandle of Texas, we actually get a spring, and we actually get an autumn. And believe it or not, we actually get a winter, complete with a lot of snowfall. I don't mean just a light dusting. I mean, you know, upwards of 1 to 2 feet sometimes. The heat only lasts here until about the first week of October, which I don't need to tell you is my favorite month of the entire year. It's the month when the weather begins to turn from oppressive heat to warm. Maybe not necessarily pleasantly warm, but not as hot as it was. And the temperatures start to dip out in the evening and overnight. And then, of course, there's Samhain. Probably didn't need to mention that part. So to sum up, my summer solstice rituals usually contain gratitude for the bounty that we're harvesting every day. And unlike many of the witches I know, my summer solstices are performed indoors.
Indoors? You're celebrating the summer solstice, which happens to be outside, by doing ritual indoors? What's wrong with you, Molly?
What's wrong? What's wrong with me indeed? Seriously, I don't know where I just went. What's wrong with me? Well, that's another very long episode for another time. I know, I am doing a ritual celebrating summer while inside my house. The alternative would be performing my solstice ritual and barfing right in the circle no later than calling in the West. That's not fun for me or anybody. It's just too goddamn hot for me from here on out until, as I mentioned, before around October-ish. But here's the thing. Remember season 2, episode 42, called Witchcraft in the Broom Closet? You're under no obligation to actually remember it, but if you do, you may remember that I talked about the genuine validity of the witches that practice witchcraft in the broom closet. We're no less valid than witches that are able to march down the street in a pointy black hat with a neon sign emblazoned with, "I'm a witch." It's the same thing with performing an indoor ritual to celebrate nature and the weather. I've been to plenty of group rituals outdoors. I've led very large group rituals outdoors. And the fact of the matter is that I try to get back inside, or at the very least, take off some clothes and get cooled off just as quickly as I can. You know, so I don't barf. Because nothing says, "Blessed Lunazoth," like doubling over and puking on your altar to close out your circle. I mean, I guess that's better than passing out, because that can happen too, but yeah, I don't want to barf either. You might be thinking to yourself, "Damn, Molly, what's the big fucking deal? Everybody I know does rituals inside. Calm down, witch!" And if you are thinking that, I would not be surprised in the least. But you might or might not find it surprising to hear, there are a large number of pagans and witches who believe a cardinal sin in witchcraft is being something some people refer to as a lazy boy witch. It's meant as kind of a double-edged derogatory epithet, asserting that witches who perform rituals in their home, presumably their living rooms in this case, aren't real witches, because real witches, and please note, around the word real, bunny ears, real witches perform their rituals under the sun, or the moon, and or the stars. It's in the same vein as the way Christmas and Easter Christians is used for Christians who only go to church on those two major Christian holidays. Lazy boy witches is not only insulting, it's judgmental, it's gatekeeping, and it can be downright fucking ableist. Yeah, ableist. Plenty of people can't do their rituals outside for lots of different reasons. And none of those reasons are anybody else's fucking business, and they're no less of a witch for it. Your summer solstice ritual, if you perform one this year, should be whatever the hell you want and need it to be. If that means adorning your altar with fresh strawberries from your garden, its long stems covered in plump, fragrant basil leaves, sun-like fruits like lemons and oranges and peaches, and even yellow squash, the foods that, you know, that just scream summer, and a tall glass of cold, fresh, squeezed lemonade. If that's what's on your altar, that's perfect. And if your ritual finds you partaking of a strawberry Pop-Tart and orange Fanta, that's also perfect. Whatever you want and need it to be. This summer solstice, do what you want and what you need in order to feed your own soul. Leave offerings for the fae if that's your thing, which, by the way, it is not my thing at all. Not even a little bit. Not really a fan of the fairies, but hey, you do you. I get it. And I understand that fairies like sweets, like cookies and cakes and honey and milk, and even like sweet booze and shiny things. But don't thank the fairies for being there with you. There's a lot of fairy lore that says fairies are highly insulted when they are thanked. And you don't want to piss off the fairies. Do I need to do an episode about fairies and the fae? Note to self. After celebrating the longest day of the year, watch the sunset. Even I can do that, because the sun won't be beating down on me by that time. If you practice deific witchcraft or paganism, honor some of the deities of the sun, like Ra, Ain, Matcha, or Helios. Fire scrying is perfect for the summer solstice as well. If you're outside for your ritual, build a fire in a fire pit or a chimney or a small cauldron. If you're indoors, scry by the flame of a candle or a small fire in your little cauldron. Be careful. Celebrate the Oak King and the Holly King. Honor the Oak King for his rule over the earth from Yule until Letha, and welcome his successor, the Holly King, who now rules over the earth until Yule. It is fully appropriate to burn oak leaves in your fire, or even oak wood, as a farewell to the Oak King. If you're able to find any holly, adorn your altar with a sprig or two in honor of the Holly King. Make sun catchers with your kiddos. It just takes a little wax paper and some crayons. Since the summer solstice is about abundance, why not clean your closets or drawers of clothing you don't wear anymore and donate that to a local shelter for the unhoused or to a safe house for abused people? Or take what your kiddos have outgrown and donate those to an organization that assists single parents, or even someone you know with growing kids that could use a little help. Speaking of abundance, if there's an unhomed person you're aware of that lives in your city that you seem to see more often than not, share your abundance with them. You could bring them something to eat, or a care package bag with things in it like toothbrush and toothpaste, deodorant, a bar of soap and a washcloth, bottled water, tampons or pads, some band-aids, a travel-size unopened bottle of like Tylenol or aspirin, some wet ones or baby wipes. An emery board would be very, very helpful for a lot of people. Some clean socks. And if they have a dog, bring them a bag of dog food. Share your bounty with someone in need. Take time out of the longest day of the year to realize how much you have and be grateful for that. As I said in the intro for this episode, I hope your needs are met well enough for you to be able to help others with their needs that haven't yet been met. Sharing what you have seems to me to be one of the most powerful forms of witchcraft. However you celebrate the summer solstice, or Letha, or midsummer, just remember gratitude. Take the solstice to reflect on the things you do have, and count the people that do love you, and that you love. Focus on all of that abundance. And maybe don't stuff your ex into a dead bear carcass and set them on fire. I don't know. I don't know your life. Happy Letha, and blessed summer solstice to you from me, sitting here in my air conditioning in Texas. I couldn't end this episode without wishing Merry Part and Merry Meet Again to one of the elders from my extended community. Carol Green has crossed over and gone on to her greater feast. She joined her husband, who was waiting for her in the Summerland. To quote my dear friend Maven Eller 5, may the ancients guide and protect you. Good night. There's a brand new episode every, at this point, whenever the fuck I can manage to get one out, I guess. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about this episode or any other episode of this podcast, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and not really on TikTok anymore because I lost my logins and now I'm locked out. Wash your hands. Wear your goddamn motherfucking mask. In case you haven't heard, there's a brand new surge. We are not out of the woods yet, folks. Get your vaccination and booster if you can, and if you haven't already. Hex the patriarchy. Protest. Rally. March. Repeat. And please, goddamn fucking vote out the bastards lining their pockets with gun money. I'm not a church, so I can't tell you who to vote for, but if you're in Texas, please make sure you're registered to vote before the gubernatorial elections and then vote for Beto O'Rourke for governor of Texas. We've got to toss Abbott out on his worthless ass. May you never hunger and may you never thirst. As above, so below. I'm Molly Dyer. This is Witchcraft Off the Beaten Path.